Hey, what's up, everyone? You are on the Eden Podcast, and we are so glad that you're here. I hope that the next 30 minutes will help you to become the person that God always dreamed you could be. Let's get started. Hey, what is up, everybody? I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to know who I'm working with this morning. So on a scale of 1 to 10 in the comments section, I want you to let me know how much you love Christmas music. There are some of you who have been playing Christmas music year-round. There are others of you who have slowly gotten into it by force just because your radio station's playing it. But I want to know on a scale of 1 to 10 how much you love Christmas music. Whoever you are, we are so glad that you're here. My name is Daniel. I'm the lead pastor here at Eden Church, and we're all about helping people connect with Jesus. Now, I don't know what it is for you and in your household, but for me and my household, the Christmas tree is the single greatest piece of decor in my entire house during Christmas season. And this year, my wife gave me and my two boys the responsibility, nay, the privilege of finding our tree for this year. And so we drove out to one of those cut your own tree down parks or whatever they're called. And just as we got there, the place closed, and so we just went to Home Depot. But when we got there, I told the boys, I said, you guys can pick the tree. We're going to do this. It's going to be special for all of us. And so they picked a good-looking tree from what I can tell, and we were a little tight on time, so we didn't unbundle the tree. I just looked at it, thought it looked good and full, and we grabbed it, got it wrapped up, packed in the car. Well, when we got home and unbundled that tree, it was literally the tumbleweed of Christmas trees. No joke, I mean, there was like no rhyme or reason or order to this entire tree. And I realized this year, comparing this tree to all the other trees that we've had in the past, is that a good tree, in my opinion, draws your attention to the star. Because the star at the top of the tree is the focal point of the entire tree itself. I think that Christmas is meant to draw our attention to Jesus. And I know some of you are thinking, well, shouldn't our attention always be on Jesus? And yes, that's true. But if you're like me and so many others, it is easy in a normal year to get distracted with like the busyness of this season, right? We're shopping for gifts. We are literally buying stuff for people that we don't even know with money we don't have and stuff they don't even need. And some of us were planning meals and we're coordinating with family and we're wrapping gifts. And so in this time of year, it is so easy to forget what this time of year is really all about. And then I feel like 2020 is like this whole nother level of distraction. Like this year, we are so aware of the uniqueness of this season of life. And we're trying to keep up with the news and we're changing plans last minute. No more vacation. Trips are getting canceled. We're trying to pay attention to the stocks, wondering if our kids are going to go back to school, trying to pay attention to updates about the vaccine. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but I have started to realize that I feel the weight of isolation during times when I should be with people, but we're not. And that is kind of the story of holidays during 2020. And so I think it's easy for us to forget that all of this that we celebrate during this time of year is really about drawing our attention to Jesus. And we might think, like, in light of the year that we've just had and the struggle that we're still in and the uncertainty of the future that lies ahead, that focusing on Jesus is a little bit too hard this year. I think that there are some of us that may even be upset at God or question his influence in light of all that's been happening month after month. And we might be asking and wondering, does he even care about what's going on in our world? I think this year and what it has exposed about who we are is exactly why we need Christmas more than we have ever needed it before. Because what I realized is that now more than ever before, the Christmas story is surrounded by controversy. It's surrounded by conflict and isolation. And the interesting thing is that it was in that environment that Jesus chose to come into this world. And so we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. It says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. To me, it's really interesting to keep revisiting this same story over and over again year after year, because you would think that when you have talked about a passage or you have told a story so many times before that maybe there's no new insight to learn. But every year when we approach this same passage, we do so with like a new lens of experience. And we start to see the details in the Christmas story that we've maybe never seen before in light of our experience. Have you ever had that experience where you revisit an old site that you've been to, but when you go back to it, it looks a lot different than you remember? Have you ever gone back to like a childhood home and like the first thought in your mind is, this is a lot smaller than I remember it being. The house hasn't changed. You have. Your lens of experience has changed. I'd always noticed in this story the humility of Jesus' circumstance. But until this year, I really never paid attention to the hostility of the cultural moment that Jesus entered into. I imagine for Mary and Joseph, Jesus' earthly parents, that there was frustration toward the government. Like the Roman Emperor Augustus required everyone to go back to their origin of birth to be part of the census. That would have cost money, that would have taken time, that would have required planning. And I'm not sure which side of the aisle that Mary and Joseph were on, but wherever they stood, they were probably a little bit frustrated because a woman who was 9 months pregnant was required to travel like this grueling 90-mile trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem on the back of a donkey. They were not happy about these government mandates. And I imagine that there were like broken family relationships. Because another interesting detail about this story is it seems like Mary and Joseph traveled from Bethlehem, from Nazareth all the way to Bethlehem by themselves. There's no indication that any other family member went on the trip with them. And this is kind of unique because they were part of a very communal society. And so it is possible that Joseph's family, who should have been on that trip, had distanced themselves from their son and Mary because of the perception of their situation. Mary had gotten pregnant before her and Joseph were married, but it wasn't Joseph's biological child. It was the same spirit in Mary that breathed life into this world, and it breathed life into Mary. And it's possible that there were strained relationships. And I wonder if like that is consistent at all with what you've experienced over the last several months, as there have been so many deep-seated, deep conversations, and maybe you land on a different side of that conversation than someone you're in close relationship with. Or maybe there's been things that have happened in over the last few months that have caused like a rift between some of those family relationships. I imagine that they felt isolated, like they were alone on this trip. Having a baby, as you know, even in our culture, is like this community activity, like to celebrate and to be with people. But because of their unique situation, they had no one there to help celebrate the coming of their first child. They didn't even have strangers who would help them. We know that they literally gave birth to their son in a stable and then eventually placed him in an animal food trough. This young couple could have felt so alone in this moment. And like those words probably land with some of us harder than others. Like isolation over the last month has been this weighty experience that all of us are trying to still figure out how to manage with health. I imagined that there was a lot of fear. Herod, who was the king of Judea during that time, heard that there was this prophecy of this Messiah that was supposed to be born. And as a result of that, out of his own jealousy and his own narcissism and his own insecurity, he ordered the murder of every male child under the age of 2. And you can imagine being a new parent. And so when Joseph and Mary became aware of this reality, I mean, it could have filled them with a tremendous amount of fear. And in fact, like if you look at their entire life, the whole 9-month journey was this series of new fears. An angel coming to you in the middle of the night, that's kind of scary. Telling your fiance that you're pregnant, but the baby is not his, that is scary. Being exposed to a community of people who are going to fill in the gaps about how you got pregnant from someone that wasn't your husband, that's scary. Mary was probably this 13-year-old girl going through all of this. And that was probably so scary for her. They were on like this roller coaster of fear, one hurdle after another. And if there is like one word that has defined this season in our culture and in our world, for so many people, it is fear. There's so much hostility in this culture, cultural moment. And yet, it was like in these circumstances that God was going to use to draw people's attention to Jesus. It's interesting how when we look at history, it was during the darkest moments and the most desperate moments in the world that it seemed like the church had expanded the most. And as I like looked at this passage this week, I realized that Christmas is more powerful this year because of the environment that we are in. The Christmas story reminds me that what is happening in our world is not too much for Jesus to handle. There, this year, we were exposed in so many ways to like what we have built our life on. Like we've been exposed to the foundation of our life. And for some of us, we realize that money means a lot to us. We realize that success and achievements and certain relationships in our career and the perception of security or being able to travel, the freedom of travel, means a lot to us. And it also exposed how weak of a foundation those things really are. Because if any of those things were adversely affected by the events that happened this year, there was probably this crumbling effect, like this devaluing of our lives somehow. But I think that it also showed us that when everything else seems unstable, that is when we actually see how strong Jesus is. There was a parable of a wise builder and a foolish builder that Jesus told. And the foolish builder built their house on sand, and when the winds came and when the water poured, it crumbled under it. But when the wise builder built his house, he built it on a rock. And when the winds came and the water fell, it says it remained because it was built on a solid foundation. That really is like the message of the Bible. Like if you're going to build your life on anything, build your life on Jesus and watch how he will sustain you when times are hard. I came across a Gallup poll this last week that was asking people about their mental health. And they studied marital status, gender, race, party affiliation, age, income. And only one category of people in America saw overall mental health improve this year over last year, weekly church attenders. I don't know why this is. All I know is that there is something here in this community that renews your mind and your heart like nothing else in this world will do. The Christmas story reminds us that Jesus stepped into the story of humanity when it was at its worst. And as hard as this year has been, it is not anything that Jesus cannot renew, restore, or redeem. I think you also need to hear that what has happened in your life is not too much for Jesus to handle. I don't know where you're coming from or what you've done. I don't know what has been done to you. But you need to believe in the promise that it is not too much for Jesus. Because Jesus loves to take small, humble, lonely, broken, tired, distraught, worried, fearful things in this world, and he loves to give them new life. This is like his pattern all throughout history, and it is his pattern in the Christmas story. He used Mary, who was a young girl, had no authority in this culture, no power, no control, and yet God used her to be a vessel of spiritual freedom for humanity for generations to come. He used Joseph, who was like this fearful father-to-be. He used the shepherds, who were all lowly by everyone's standard in that culture. God's ability to use regular people to do meaningful things had nothing to do with their ability and everything to do with their faith in Him. So whoever you think you are, whatever you've done, no matter how dark or discouraging our past has been, what God shows us in this Christmas story is that He came for moments like this. And He came for people like you. And He came for people like me. And my hope is that these times in our culture, in our world, would draw our attention to Jesus, not from Him. The Christmas story has always been about pointing us to Jesus. And look at the second half of this story in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 20. It says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger.' Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.' When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherds' stories were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to the flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them." I love this story of God sending these messengers, these angels, to these shepherds so that they could find hope in Jesus. And the shepherds' part in the story was that they had the courage and the faith to follow God's prompting. And on the back end of their faith, it says that they walked away from that experience glorifying and praising God. Like they were worshiping Jesus. And I believe that God is still sending messengers today. Now, it may not look like a bunch of angels in the sky giving us a very clear and direct message from God. I think it looks different for many of us. But I think that every one of us is here today because we've gotten some kind of message from God. Maybe it was like this post on Instagram or social media. Maybe it was like a friend DMing us on social media. Maybe it was a text message, or maybe it was a sign or an advertisement that you saw. But I want you to know that, like, if you are here today, it is not by accident. It's because you sense that God wanted a relationship with you. He doesn't want religion. He doesn't want you to check off all the boxes this Christmas season. He just wants you. He wants your heart. He wants a relationship with you because He loves you and He created you for a purpose. And when you lean into that relationship with God, that is where you get the greatest sense of purpose in your life. But this is also the beautiful thing about God, is that He will never force you to experience what He has prepared for you. That is your part. Your part is having the faith to believe that there is something more to this life than what you've experienced. Your part is having the faith to believe that without a relationship with God, there is still part of your life that is yet to be awakened. You know, the more that I explore faith, the more I realize how much of my journey was formed as a child. It wasn't all like the religion of the institutions that I was part of. It was watching my mother, who was discouraged about life without God, become a brand new person. It was watching my brother, who had so much anger as a child, find happiness. It was watching the story of a best friend who hated life begin to love life. That is the power of God's love. That is the power of His Spirit within us. It can change our perspective about everything. I love how with God we have a hope that we cannot have or understand or even fathom without Him. And I wonder, what if this is the year that you realized what you've been living for is not producing in your life what you hoped it would? What if this is the year you start to see that there is more to life than followers on social media or likes or money or status and stuff? What if this is the year that you chose to surrender your heart to God? And when I talk about surrender, I'm not talking about weakness. I'm talking about wisdom. Knowing that there are certain parts of your life that you do not have control over. And you need God's help. And if that's you today, I want to encourage you to consider taking that step of faith. Because my prayer is that God would use Christmas in 2020 to draw your attention to Jesus. To show you that there is nothing in this world that will hold you up like He can. Part of how we want to help you focus your attention on Jesus is for the next 5 days, we're going to be doing a very simple reading plan that's going to help prepare our hearts and our minds and to really cause us to focus on the significance of this time of year so that we don't lose sight of what this is all about. And we've done this before in the past, and it has been such a meaningful experience for me because it's a chance for me to hear how you're processing life right now, how you process Scripture as you apply it to your life in these unique circumstances. And so I'm so excited that we're going to do that. The link will pop up on the screen right now, and you can go to that link, and you can sign up for the Bible app, download it, and then tomorrow we'll begin reading together as a church. We're going to do this as a community. And I want to encourage you that if God is saying something to you, would you share it on that app with the rest of us? Because oftentimes when we hear from God, it's through other people. And so I'm really excited that we get to be a part of doing that as a church. But today I want to give you an opportunity, if you have never taken that step to begin following Jesus, that maybe in this year you would take that step. That you wouldn't just celebrate Christmas as this cultural thing that we do, but it would have a deeper sense of significance. Understanding that the coming of Jesus into our world was light coming into darkness, was hope coming into a place where there was no hope. But you experiencing that firsthand by beginning a relationship with God today. And the Bible makes it like really, really easy. It's not anything that God wants from you. It's everything that He wants for you. And Scripture says that like all we have to do is pray this simple prayer. And it's nothing special about the words. It's just a matter of whether or not the words are true of the condition of your heart. And it's a prayer of surrender, of inviting God into your life and opening up your heart to awaken a part of your life that maybe has never been awakened inside of you, your spirit. And so if that's where you're at today, I want to encourage you to pray this short prayer after me in your heart, wherever you are. You can go ahead and close your eyes and bow your head. Dear God, I want to thank You for loving me when I didn't even know You were there. God, thank You for sacrificing Your Son, sending Him to this world to give His life for many, myself included. Today, I surrender my heart to You. I want to trust and believe that You can do more with my life than I can. Today, I want to become a follower of Jesus. I want to follow the path that Jesus set on this earth and live a life that honors you. God, would you give me the strength to trust you in the days ahead? In Jesus' name I pray, I believe.